This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Kellyanne Conway is the special counsel to the President of the United States. Kellyanne, you look, you know, obviously the Obama people did not think that your guy was going to win. They were shocked. It looks to many like they hatched this plan. Hey, let's get all this secret stuff we gathered in the final days of campaign, spread it throughout the administration so that everybody's able to try to blow him up over the next couple of months, leak stuff to the press. It looks like a coordinated effort by a former president and his team on a scale we've never seen before.
And what you just said are based on published reports from last week that said exactly that. Let's make it very clear today. Look, it certainly contravenes the earlier spirit of cooperation and having a peaceful transition of power. So that would be very disappointing. And again, this is about bureaucratic systematic leaks in the intelligence and security communities. I would just say respectfully to Senator Schumer, this is a very typical response from the Democratic Party these days. It's that they have no message. I mean, they have no core. They have no message. Their message is, we don't want Donald Trump to be the president, and we're going to stop everything that he's doing. Chuck Schumer's been out there many times saying he didn't want to hear who the nominee would be to the Supreme Court, let alone Neil Gorsuch, somebody he voted for 10 years ago, he and his Democratic colleagues. He will obstruct any type of repeal and replace measure. He doesn't even know what's in it yet. He doesn't know the tax reform proposal. He hasn't seen the details of infrastructure, but they want to resist and obstruct at every turn, and it's costing their party. I mean, they're truly the minority party now with no ideas, no solutions, and just to try to throw the logs in the way of the president. So I think the people will cut through that. The other thing I would just say is this is a very important week in this White House where the president is going to continue to act on, along with the Congress, major pieces of his legislative and executive agenda.
Like that includes immigration.
That's right. Immigration. A new executive order today, Ainslie, that's correct. And what's different about it has an effective date of March 16th. And there are the legal permanent residents were always excluded from it, but that's made much more clear now. If you have travel docs, if you actually have a visa, if you're a legal permanent resident, you are not covered under this particular executive action. Also, Iraq is no longer on the list based on their enhanced screening and reporting measures. I think people will see six or seven major points about this executive order that do clarify who is covered. Also, Syrian refugees are treated the way all refugees are.
Well, Kellyanne Conway, along with Fox News and Steve Doocy there, laying out the case for the president and, you know, what the Democrats have continued to do, and that is obstruct. The Democrats, and I've maintained a posture that, look, we need everybody. We need all hands on deck. The Democrats got to figure out some way to get their brains back connected and get away from this bitter partisanship that's hurting all of us. They're representing, and I don't know how people in their states who are being represented by people like this, by the Democrats, with this kind of bitterness, if that's satisfactory for you. And if it's not, you need to speak up and you need to say something so that they can get their acts together, because clearly they're not helping. You know, we've got problems here. We need problem solvers. We don't need problem inhibitors and obstructionists. Yes, and I understand, because I hear this, well, what did the Republicans do to Barack Obama? Yeah, okay. So that justifies it. So we'll just keep on going, and then we'll waste another 20, 30 years, and by then we'll be super broke, and, what kind of America will our kids be dealing with? All right, so can reason reign? Can there be an adult in the room? Can we start solving some serious problems here that are affecting we the people? Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot tell you how important it is for you to stay activated. Okay? You got activated in November. You have to stay activated. A little bit at a time. You know, just every day. Just, you know, put 5 minutes. Invest 5 minutes into your government to let them know how you really feel, to counter what is going on here and the kind of propaganda the media would want us to believe in. It's up to you. This is a government of, for, and by we the people.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We got to get all cylinders on this that we face, don't we? And this is why I continue to urge all partisans, you know, for us to be bipartisan, to think of what is most important. We're going to derivate from the typical political conversation right now. And I say to people, we try to break things up a little bit. I got a real treat for you here. Bob Drury is back with us to talk about Lucky 666, Lucky 666, the impossible mission. It is one of those stories out of World War II that people know little of, but they're going to know a lot more as a result of the efforts of Bob Drury and Tom Clavin, who are known, number one, New York Times bestsellers, The Heart of Everything That Is, among many other books as well. But we're especially privileged to have Bob with us to talk about this little-known World War II story. Bob Drury, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. It's great to be back again.
Well, this is an incredible story, as Rinker Buck says. He says, it's a thrilling narrative. It reads like the Dirty Dozen meets Unbroken, right?
Bill, it's a yarn I never get tired of talking about. I mean, I'm as susceptible to the great man theory of military histories. I love reading about Patton or Ike or Pierre the Great or Napoleon. But my co-author, Tom, what we like, what really sets us aflame is when we find ordinary men who rise to extraordinary circumstances.
Exactly.
At altered war. And in Lucky 666, you don't get more ordinary rising to extraordinary than this yarn.
Yeah, and this one, you know, focuses on the Pacific. You know, we hear about the European theater quite often, and we hear some about the Pacific, but this is one of those little-known stories, and maybe that's why it got lost in translation here maybe a bit.
I agree. I mean, nothing sums up more than what you just said by the fact that the U.S. Air Force in Europe fighting the Nazis, the Mighty Eighth, they got all the spare parts, they got all the grounds crews, they got all the ink in the newspapers, and so the U.S. Army, don't forget there was no Air Force yet, so it was the U.S. Army Air Force in the Southwest Pacific, they started calling themselves the Forgotten Fifth. And this story is like, it's almost like peeling an onion, because we do write about the big picture of what was happening in the Southwest Pacific and how these boys, and boy, they were all boys, how they were just surviving on, their planes were being so shot up and they were patching them up themselves. It was almost like they were going up there with spit and polish and
a little bit of chewing gum and baling wire, as they say, right?
Well, literally, they were hammering, they'd land with 90 bullet holes from zeros, and they bang out, they flatten soup cans to patch up their airframe. Wow. They found that the Australian sixpence coin fit perfectly in the magneto ignition to spark the ignition. And believe it or not, this one I didn't believe. I had to double check.
Mm.
But for air filters, they were using the Australian version of women's sanitary napkins.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look, at I'll tell you what, nothing like, as they say about, when you get in those dire circumstances, the mother of invention will raise its head no matter what, and maybe some other parts of the body. But that's incredible. So that, hey, whatever works, whatever fills the need, right?
You know, it's when you talk about U.S., the extraordinary lengths we'll go to make things work, I think this is a perfect example of it. And then in the middle of this story, in the middle of this war, this kind of forgotten war, we have our two protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Zeamer, the B-17 pilot, flew a flying fortress like it was a Zero. He actually looked for dogfights. Mm-hmm. And his best friend, Joe Sarnowski, his bombardier. Now, Jay and Joe couldn't have been more different. Jay was an upper-middle-class MIT graduate, an engineer. Joe was one of 16 children of an immigrant coal miner, yet these two, forged in war, become best friends. And here's where the story takes off, at least it does for me. Nobody wants to fly with these guys because Jay, as I explained, he's looking for a fight, and Joe is going, and they both disobeyed orders.
He's the World War II maverick here, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Let's put this a little bit of perspective, right?
Exactly. He spent more time in the brig almost than he did in the air.
Yeah.
So nobody wants to fly with these two. What are they going to do? Well, they recruit their own crew of misfits, and that's where Rigger Buck's 30 Dozen come in. I mean,
right.
For their tail gunner, they found a Jack LaLanne buff. He could barely squeeze back through the tailpipe. For their communications guy, they found an expert knife fighter. What they were going to do with a knife fighter at 30,000 there, I don't know, but probably a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Their flight navigator was the youngest staff sergeant in theater, Johnny Abel, and one of my favorites was their waist gunner. He was a pool shark. And normally at that point in the war, a B-17 had two waist gunners. They would go back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And their waist gunner said, no, I don't want to be banging ass with anybody back there. All these guns are mine.
So here's this ragtag group of ne'er-do-wells that they've assembled. And not only a group of men, but they are like, they're putting a plane together with pieces and parts that have kind of been rejected. They go out to the, the airplane graveyard, and they're pulling out parts to put a plane together.
Right. But once again, nobody wanted to fly with them. So they said, you know what? We're going to build our own plane from the wheels up. So they went down the boneyard at the end of the runway in Port Moresby, New Guinea, and they just started putting spare parts together, and they kind of rebuilt their own plane. And on Jay Zeamer, the pilot's insistence, he put 19 50 caliber machine guns. Now, most B-17s at the time carried 11 to 13.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the hell with this. We're going to fight.
Yeah.
We want 19. And we don't want the 30 cals. We don't want the little pea shooters. We want 19 50 cals.
Wow.
And they get the plane. And the tail numbers were 666, and that's where the title comes from, Lucky 666. And they get this plane flight ready. They pass their flight test. And as regular as the Angeles, Bill, every morning they're outside the ready room volunteering for all these suicide missions that no one else wants to take.
Exactly. Well, Zeamer and Sarnowski had to have this sense of some divine mission or something, because it just, I mean, in the military, I mean, though, you know, things are pretty crazy. I mean, let's call it for what it is during World War II, particularly in the Pacific. Like you say, everything was, the focus was what was happening in Europe, and the Pacific was kind of rambling around. But, you know, today I'm not sure you could get away with what they got away with.
No, you couldn't. In fact, even in World War II, you wouldn't be able to get away with this in Europe.
Mm,
Europe was
yes.
much more structured.
Right.
But down in the Southwest Pacific, I mean, the vast, they were flying 1,200-mile missions. And anybody that could get up, I mean, there was a limit. The limit was raised throughout the war. But if you did 30 missions, you were home free. Then
right.
it got raised to 38. Then it got raised to 44. But down in the Southwest Pacific, they were so short of able men. They just said, whoever wants to go up when you can, and we'll take you.
Well, I'll tell you, this is an incredible story. We come back, it will continue. A story you haven't heard, you know, a World War II story. And I'll tell you, it will bring life to your heart and appreciation to being an American citizen for the heritage that we enjoy today. This is all part of our heritage, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Bill Martinez. Lucky 666 Bob Drury is with us right now. We're the lucky ones right now because we get to hear all about it.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD, is a chronic inflammatory disease that affects as many as 1.6 million Americans. A new resource is available at IBDGamePlan.com to help people with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, the two most common forms of IBD, manage everyday life with these diseases. Dr. Millie Long, a gastroenterologist from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, has more.
The nature of IBD can make it harder for patients to discuss their symptoms or the impact the disease has on their lives. It's important for people to know that they're not alone and that they should feel open to talking to their doctor about all their symptoms. This communication is important in order to develop an appropriate treatment plan.
A great resource is IBDGamePlan.com, which has tools to help people living with IBD create a game plan with their healthcare providers to take control and manage symptoms of IBD. Symptoms of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis can include diarrhea, abdominal pain or cramping, and rectal bleeding.
There is no cure for IBD, but there are treatments available that address the inflammation that causes symptoms and can help achieve and maintain remission.
Visit IBDGamePlan.com to create your own IBD game plan, register for ongoing tips, and access useful tools.
I'm Maria Brous, Director of Media and Community Relations with Publix Supermarkets. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States? Or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me and Publix for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the runway? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room.
Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
It's about we the people. And look, I'll tell you what, you can't blame Congress. You can't blame the president. Just look in the mirror. You know, the one finger that goes out, pointing out. You got three coming back at you. So it's all on us. That's all part of
you know, why self-responsibility is so critical. And you need to stay activated, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Our conversation with Bob Drury continues. Best-selling author of the book Lucky 666, The Impossible Mission, one of the last great untold stories of World War II. Let me read inside the jacket a couple of paragraphs here for you, kind of set the stage here, because Bob's going to take us to that pivotal 1,200 suicide mission. It was a 1,200-mile suicide mission that confronted our protagonist here. It's 1942. Japanese war machine has rolled up nearly all the Pacific theater, and American forces are clinging to what little unconquered territory remains. While U.S. Marines claw their way across Guadalcanal, small contingents of U.S. Army airmen make their way to a lonely, embattled Allied air base on Papua New Guinea. Their mission, to defend Australia from invasion, harass Japanese supply lines, fly perilous bombing missions over enemy-held strongholds, and make reconnaissance runs to provide intelligence for America's nation island-hopping campaign. Now, among these men are the pilot, Jay Zeemer, and the bombardier, Joe Sarnowski. In the spring of 43, Zeemer, a misfit who cannot convince his superiors to give him his own plane, teams up with Sarnowski to recruit a crew of fellow outcasts to rebuild a dilapidated B-17 bomber from spare parts in the base's junkyard. Now, together, Zeemer and Sarnowski and their men painstakingly repair the plane and christen it Old 666 after its tail identification numbers. Bob Drury, pick it up from there, because there's a suicide mission. I mean, these guys, anytime they can prove themselves, any mission, the one that, you know, everybody's like, hey, if you want this mission, step forward. I mean, they were the first ones to step forward. They really wanted to prove themselves. And here it is. Now we've got a suicide mission that is laid out there. And, of course, these guys step up big time.
Bill, it's almost like they had a chip on their shoulder. You wouldn't let us fly with the regular guys? Okay, then we're going to outdo the regular guys.
Right, right.
So they're flying bombing runs in Lucky 666. And they're still disobeying orders. At one point, Jay makes a grocery run because scurvy was rampant, and he wanted to bring in some fresh fruit and some fresh vegetables. He gets busted. He gets thrown in the brig. At another point, Joe is ordered to bomb a hotel in Rabul, Fortress Rabul, which was the Japanese stronghold, because they know that there was a high-class brothel in the top floor, and all these Japanese admirals and generals would frequent it. But Joe, being the coal miner's son from Pennsylvania, just says, I ain't bombing no geisha girls. And instead, he blows up an ammunition dump and he blows up a fuel tank, and they get reprimanded for that. And so finally, in between these bombing runs, they're volunteering for these dangerous reconnaissance. Now, the distances, you mentioned 1,200 miles. You can't have fighter escort when you're taking photos. So as the Marines are making their way, they've now captured Guadalcanal. They're making their way up the Solomon Islands, and the most important island to be captured is Bougainville.
Yes.
It is right below Rabaul. If we can get Bougainville, we can put a base there and take out the Japanese in Rabaul. But nobody knows what Bougainville looks like. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what kind of Japanese defenses are there. Most especially Admiral Halsey doesn't want his Marines getting caught up in the reefs of Empress Augusta Bay. So Jay and Joe and the crew, the misfits, as we call them, mm-hmm. they say, we'll do it. We'll do it. We haven't been there. What happens is they take off. They're flying on dead reckoning. And they 1,200 miles, they land. But at the last moment, they had gotten an order to also recon this tiny little island, Buka, right next to Bougainville. Mm-hmm. Jay didn't want to do it, but finally when they got there, valor got the better of their consciences, and they exposed themselves. The next thing you know, the Japanese are sending up scores of zeros, and it's the longest dogfight. You think of dogfights as fighter on fighter?
Yeah,
this was the longest dogfight in the history of World War II, 44 minutes. The Japanese threw up over 30 planes against them. They shot down 7. And the interesting thing is they couldn't take evasive action. They couldn't duck into a cloud because mm-hmm. these cameras they had to be flying straight at a steady speed, and they were basically sitting ducks. Wow. Yet they came through. They did it. Now, they were shot up to hell. Almost everybody.
I mean, people need to understand this. I mean, you're talking fighter jets against a B-17. I mean, this is like, I mean, if you ever had an idea that maybe you had a divine appointment and divine protection, this would have to be it, because the odds were so much against you. I mean, this should have been easy picking for a couple of Jets, much less 30 of them.
I tell you what, and you know what, Bill, we've talked about this before. You know I've been downrange.
Yes.
And when you're, I've several tours reporting in Afghanistan, Iraq, Sarajevo, Darfur. At least I can get a beer in Belfast. But when you're in combat, you're not fighting for the flag. You're not fighting for country. You're not fighting for the president. You're fighting for the guy in the in the seat next to you in the cockpit, or you're fighting for the guy in the foxhole next to you.
Right.
That's what these guys were fighting for. And the odd thing is, they had known, the same with the bomber pilot, at least he dropped his rocks and got shot down on the way home.
Mm.
He had the satisfaction of knowing he had done his job.
Right.
Well, these guys, they're shot up. Lucky 666, all its instruments are gone. They're flying on dead reckoning. The flaps are broken. They can't get the landing gear down. But they got to get back, because they have to get these pictures back,
exactly,
these photographs, or else these Marines are going to just get slaughtered as they're invading Bougainville.
Mm-hmm.
So they finally get back. And as I say, Bill, it was gratifying and uplifting, in the sense that it's the only time in the history of the United States where two members of the same flight crew were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's never happened before. It's never happened since. The unfortunate part is, one of those members who was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, it was awarded to him posthumously.
Yeah.
He died on this mission. And you know what, Bill? Do you want to find out who lived and who died? How about reading the book?
That's right. Excellent. That's a perfect tie-in. And, of course, the book is available at all the usual places. It'll be linked on our website. It is one of the last great untold stories of World War II. You know, Bob, you know, as I was reading that part as well, I thought about the whole crew was deserving. I mean, because like you say, it's, you know, it's all for one in there. I mean, you are watching each other's back. You're fighting for the others to hold in there. That entire crew was
well,
deserving.
The entire, aside from Jay and Joe, mm-hmm, being awarded the Congressional MOH, the crew was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. And to this day, it remains the most decorated flight crew in the U.S. Army Air Force and the U.S. Air Force.
Wow. It is, I'll tell you, it brings chills. It really does bring chills to realize what they went through and how they, you know, exposed themselves. They had to, in order to get this information. And, you know, the information they brought back, wow, how pivotal to the war effort in the Pacific was it, Bob Drury?
You know what? It was our first. We had had some successes. You know, Bill, right now, March of 2017, mm-hmm, we're at the 75th anniversary of probably the lowest point in World War II, and that was MacArthur being chased off the Philippines. I mean, bad things happened. In February, Fortress Singapore, which the British thought never would fall, fell in March. And all of a sudden, the U.S. is starting to get back off the canvas, and they're starting to throw some punches. And we're running, and we have the little pinprick, Jimmy Doolittle's raid, takes place this April. And one of the keys to the war was Rabaul. I can't stress how strong Rabaul was. And once we took Rabaul, you could see, as Winston Churchill said across the planet when he was talking about North Africa, taking Rabaul, he's not sure if it was the beginning of the end, but he was pretty sure it was the end of the beginning.
Wow.
And if it wasn't for the success of the Lucky 666 mission, who knows what would have happened?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, and you have, as you say, pinpricks and iconic stories and heroes throughout not only Europe, but certainly in the Pacific. And Bob, I cannot thank you and Tom enough for bringing this story to our attention. Congratulations on the book, Lucky 666, The Impossible Mission. I'll tell you, you cannot put this book down.
So,
no, I'm telling you, you're one of those ordinary men who rises to extraordinary circumstances, so I thank you.
Well, thank you. Bob Drury, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for being with us. Author, co-author of 9 books, written for numerous publications, including the New York Times. Bob Drury.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Guys, if you've been using or wanting to try Viagra but are worried about the costs, we have great news. Now you can finally get real results at huge discounts with our Healthy Men alternative to the little blue pill. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get results for a fraction of the price? Call today and get 40 pills for only $99. Others cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want real results at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill for Viagra when you can get real results for less than $3 per pill. Call 800-919-0432 today and save over $500. You can have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Call right now and we'll rush you your supply delivered discreetly to your door. Just call 800-919-0432. That's 800-919-0432. Again, 800-919-0432.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Your smartphone and around the world. You've tuned in to Bill Martinez Live.
Hooray for Hollywood.
This is Bill Martinez Live.
Hooray for Hollywood.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com and, as we say, keep those cards and letters coming in. It's great hearing from you. You can get it to me directly, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Got a real treat for you here right now. We've got the author of The Shack, number one New York Times best-selling book. Stayed on the list 172 weeks. Can you imagine? 52 weeks at number one. The Shack has been made into a feature film. Of course, many of you have already had a chance to see it, so this is a real special treat because you're going to get some special background insight because Paul Young, the author of The Shack, is with us. Paul, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you for the invitation. Honored to be with you, Bill.
Well, I got to tell you, the honor belongs to us. As I was mentioning to you earlier, a dear friend of mine who I love dearly, let me tell you, she told me, she says, flat out, Bill, let me tell you, The Shack changed my life.
You know, that is the best kind of response that anybody who participates in creative work could hear. Mm-hmm. I didn't set out trying to change anybody's life. I wrote a story for my kids for Christmas. Right. And we have six children. Our youngest was 13 at the time. I went down to Office Depot and made 15 copies that did everything I ever wanted this book to do. And the fact that it has become this huge phenomenon, not just in the U.S. and Canada, but also around the world, is just, to me, the kindness, the God's sense of humor and grace.
Right, right. Well, when you set out to write this as a Christmas present to your kids, obviously you wanted to communicate a spiritual message to them in a way that they had not ever heard before.
And my kids have, in a sense. What had happened was that my wife, Kim, had said, you know, someday as a gift for our children, would you just put in one place how you think, because you think outside the box.
Mm.
And that's all I was trying to do. I was trying to say, look, let me tell you about the faith side of my life and a God who showed up and actually healed my heart, and not the God I grew up with, because I grew up with a very distant, angry, Gandalf with a bad attitude God. And you know, by the way, when it got into print, Kim said to me, you know, when I asked you to do this, I was thinking like 4 to 6 pages.
Yeah, now you tell me.
Yeah, exactly. You
right.
know, I'm so glad I had no idea what I was doing.
Well, that's the deal. You know, she's your breath and inspiration, and little did she know to what height she was going to inspire you to, right?
Yeah, I know. That's part of the beauty of community. And I think it's one of the greatest gifts that marriage potentially brings. It becomes a crucible for change and for creativity. You know, every child that is born is the greatest creative act that human beings can participate in, way, way bigger than a book or a movie or a song.
So, Paul, when you presented the story to the kids at Christmas, what did they think?
Oh, a book. Thanks, Dad. I mean, we'll get right on that. so it took them a while, but every one of them has had a response that's different. Because, and this is the beauty, I think, of the movie, and it's the beauty of the book, is that it's so layered and that it's created a space for people to hear for themselves. You know, it's given people a language to have a conversation about God that's not religious.
Yeah.
And I think that's an incredibly helpful invitation, especially for those of us who have great sadnesses in our lives. And everybody experiences loss. You can't get through this world without it.
Exactly.
And then love as well. So this just asks really great human questions and does it in a way that is respectful to the reader and the listener and now the watcher.
Yeah, and I thought it did as well. In fact, I was a little bit surprised. But, you know, to your point, for people who are, you know, we can say, quote unquote, flying quotes here, religious, they were a little bit uncomfortable because you don't realize you're conservative and very dogmatic until you realize you're very conservative and dogmatic.
Yeah, we have this addiction to certainty. And, you know, the folks that have had some little pushback against both the novel and probably the screen as well, those are my people. And those are modern evangelical fundamentalists. And and they're my people, and they're precious to me because I come from that.
Yes.
And I understand what they're afraid of. And, you know, the thing about it is that God has never been content to stay in our boxes, but he climbs into our boxes in order to destroy our philosophies and ideology that's destructive. And I think that's what love does.
Well, and this is why he says make no idols. You know, he doesn't want to be interpreted, right? Because we limit who God is.
One of the great lines that I think I got from the Holy Spirit is the only time you'll find God in a box is because he wants to be where we are.
Wow. Yes.
And I love that line.
Yeah, I do.
I just think it opens up the heart of a God who is relentless love, but is not willing that anything that is not of love's kind to remain unchallenged either.
So, Paul, what is your wife saying now that what she expected to be 4 pages is now cinematic? It's on the big screen. People are having popcorn and Coke and all those good things watching your wonderful movie.
It's so funny. You know, so the other night, my daughter Amy and I went to the red carpet premiere in New York City, which is a first for me. I'm so out of my league, you know, being a Pacific Northwest guy with my flannel shirts and stuff. But so Kim calls because she'd been watching some of it on screen and stuff, and she just couldn't make it to the New York premiere. Mm. And so she calls me. She's
Kim is his wife, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't say that earlier. He's talking about his wife. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
So she says, we need to get you a new pair of glasses. You know, they're crooked. when they sit on your face, they're crooked. And I'm going like, oh, good. That's yeah, you're probably right.
Right.
So, you know, we're normal people living in a normal world. And this is all surprise and wonderful. But let me tell you what the greatest gift of this whole thing is. Is the invitation to step onto the holy ground of other people's stories.
Yes, exactly.
You know, because everything that mattered to me was in place before I wrote the book. So it didn't give me identity or worth or value or significance or security and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it gave me an invitation that has been too beautiful for words. And some of it's very, very wrenching because people have such an affinity with story, and this one in particular. They trust me with their stories.
Wow.
And we have a world of great sadnesses, and together I think that there is a possibility of moving towards something that is cohesive and unifying, and it involves questions of faith, and it involves questions and honesty and authenticity about losses and unforgiveness and about our judgmentalism.
Exactly.
And all of these are different layers of the book and the movie.
Exactly. Paul, do you think, you know, the timing, first of all, the book. Now look at the culture where it is right now in our country, where it is absolutely in chaos. I say one of the reasons we are really leads back to what the book of Proverbs says, that a nation without vision will perish. It's relevant to a nation, an individual, and that perishing is casting off restraint, that we've unanchored, we've untethered ourselves from those important moral girdings. And we are in chaos for where we are right now. I think God's timing, absolutely impeccable, with the book released now and now with the movie. Do you sense some divine timing here?
Absolutely. Let me give you a little tiny illustration, and that is...
Okay, we got about a minute. We got about a minute left here, Paul, just to warn you.
I got you. All right. The movie was supposed to come out November 18th, and so Lionsgate has another movie, Hacksaw Ridge, and Mel Gibson wanted that to come out in November. So it started this little conversation, and we deferred. So Lionsgate looks around for the right time, lands on the first Friday of March, not realizing that the date is 3-3 for a movie about the Trinity. I mean, there's a timing thing to this whole thing, and you're right. Our culture, our issues of diversity, and the struggles that we're having to communicate, and here comes something that just bridges all those
gaps. Well, in God's perfect timing, it could only be. Paul Young, congratulations on The Shack. People are being blessed. Lives are being changed. What a blessing. Thank you so much for being with us on Bill Martinez Live.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
How would you like to pay less taxes? Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
KADC, there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 14 before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. We come to you fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, and all the other times in between and around the world via shortwave as well. Good to have you along with us for the ride. Just want to remind you very quickly, we're going to be talking more about the Shack, and we're grateful for Paul Young to stop by and have a conversation about his book and the movie and how exciting it was for him and his family to see the book come to big screen. And Bob Waliszewski is standing by. But before we bring Bob on, I do want to remind you that, hey, if you'd like two free tickets to the Shack, the soundtrack, we've got, believe it or not, there's even a Bible study that they've produced on behalf of the movie, and also a copy of the book. Sold already some 22 million copies. Can you believe it? But you get a chance to win that whole package absolutely free with our compliments. All you got to do, you know the drill. Just drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Say, hey, Martinez, put me in the hot tub. Hey, we'll pull your name. We're going to get those out right away. Make sure you get that to me right away because we've got to close this in order to get it out. So you got the tickets and all the good stuff in your hands quickly as possible. So get your email to me right away, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Make sure you include your address, okay? So when I pull your name, we can feel good about it and also know where to send the information, okay, and send you the whole packet of goodies. But Bob Waliszewski, focus on the families, plugged in, head of media culture. He's just, he's Mr. Everything when he's there, but most time these days, he somehow, I think he's opening up a second office on the Big Island in Hawaii. Not bad, huh?
I wish. And I have tried to figure out how Focus on the Family could actually utilize my talents over there, but
I'm envisioning a satellite office there that could work out very effectively for you, you know?
Yeah. I know. It's just the time is wrong. Oh well.
Hey, what can we do?
Home every once in a while.
Well, welcome back. We missed you.
In Hawaii. I have a daughter in Hawaii. It gives us plenty of reasons to go in addition to the fact that it's an incredible, beautiful place. So,
well, the next time when you're at the Big Island, because I've never been to the Big Island, believe it or not, as many times, and we've been going to Hawaii now for, you know, it seems like 20 years, and we love the island, the people there. You know, when you go back so often, then you become part of the Ohana, right? And particularly in Hawaii.
That's family. family, for those who don't know. That's probably one of three Hawaiian words I actually know. So.
Yes. Well, you learn that fast because you become an auntie and an uncle. Before you know it, you got all kinds of family.
Yes, you absolutely do.
Well, we do something every time we go, and every summer when we go to Kauai, we have the Ohana there, and we have taco night. And they love to, because they don't get really good Mexican food there in Kauai. And so we go there and we make tacos for everybody. And we, as a rule, we'll make like, you know, anywhere from 60 to 75 tacos that night. And what happens is the Ohana here is they go, oh, Uncle and Andy are in town. And they come in throngs, and it is just, it is so precious. I'll tell you, Bob, you know, you have those moments with friends like this, and they embraced us early on. Like I said, we've been going to the island for 20 years, and we've known these people, and we saw our kids grow up, and our kids are having babies, and we're on to the next generation now, and it is just such a blessing.
I share a lot of that. Mm-hmm. We kind of have our own version of Taco Night, too, so it's funny. Uh-huh. We've got a lot in common there.
Well, that's good fun. See, we need to bring it together somehow. Maui meets Maui, Kauai meets the Big Island, and we ought to have a big family Walaszewski Martinez event there. Could they handle these two last names? I mean, that's a real stretch for them, maybe, huh?
Especially when everything's so Hawaiian over there.
I know, but we love it. Hey, Shaq, let's talk about the Shaq. We just had Paul Young on, the author of the book.
Tell you and I could have a real awkward moment here if I didn't like this movie, but I'm happy to say that I'm a fan. Now, yeah. It wasn't a perfect film. There was a few theological missteps like there was in the book, but in my mind, they were so easy to navigate, and the positives so far outweigh the minor missteps. But lest our listeners have no idea what I'm talking about, let me go back to 2008 when the book was not quite a year old, and our Boundless publication posted a review of the book. And we quoted Eugene Peterson, who edited the Message Bible, as saying, quote, "The book has the potential to do for our generation what John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress did for his." In other words, two thumbs up from Eugene Peterson. But meanwhile, Dr. Albert Mohler, who I also think the world of, wrote, "This book includes undiluted heresy," end of quote. Two thumbs down. Mm-hmm. So the film has its, you know, people that love the Lord that think it's terrible, just like the book did. But mm-hmm. I happen to be one that sees this glass more than half full, not mm-hmm. just half full, maybe 5/8 full or something.
Right.
And I like it. We gave it a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. You wouldn't want to take your littlest of kids. Mm-hmm. But for those who have gone through a trauma, let's say, in their lives, they've, you know, mom died of cancer, Uncle Bill was in a car accident recently, and we're still struggling with that, whatever it might be,
right.
And we've all go through hard times, but the message of this film is more about handling trauma than it is about handling the Trinity.
Right.
And I just think it just is something worthwhile. I'm glad it's playing, and I'm glad it did well.
Exactly.
It's the number 3 movie this weekend under Logan and Get Out, and it made $16 million, and that's people are pretty happy with that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Bob, anecdotally, I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said, that book changed my life.
Yeah,
and what
I've
is
heard
it,
that too.
Look at, so when you have something that can alter people's lives, sold 22 million copies. That means, what do they say, 3-4 times that people will share the book? You know, so you're talking
60 million
people somewhere,
yeah.
They're right, readers of the book. And if it's changing lives, even Paul said, look, if they're not, in essence, this is the Martinez translation rendition.
Right.
If they're not against us and they're for us, I mean, you know, hey, let's not worry too much about the particulars, because heaven only knows, Bob, when we get in front of God and we're in his presence, we're going to know the truth, and we're going to realize ourselves how, even though we thought, well, we really had a good handle. I mean, I understand this one, you know, might have been on the edge on this one, but this one here, I'm really good about it. And then God's going to show you and you go, oh my God, I'm not even in a zip code here, you know?
Well, here's the edgiest message of the film was when Octavia Spencer, who in that moment was playing God the Father, by the way, the movie doesn't say that that God the Father is an African-American middle-aged woman,
right,
but can appear that way because later God the Father appears as an Inuit man. But anyways, during this time, Mac, Sam Worthington's character, the one who's lost his daughter and she's been killed, says something to Octavia Spencer's character and says, "You're a God of wrath." And Octavia Spencer says, "No, I'm a God of love." Right. Well, actually, both are true. I mean, if you really want to be precise on it, God is very much a God of love. But 95 times combined in the New Testament and Old Testament, God calls himself a God of wrath. So he's both.
Right.
But is that enough of a reason to say it's undiluted heresy and don't go? I don't think so.
Right.
I think it's enough to say, okay, there's another side of God's nature that the movie doesn't highlight. Here it is. Let's talk about it. Let's go out for Starbucks afterwards, have a cup of coffee. We can chat about this.
Exactly.
Especially if we have non-believing friends or neighbors or family members who would be willing to go with us to this film. There's all sorts of ministry opportunity.
Oh, without a doubt.
Just screaming for people to talk about afterwards.
Well, and especially when you talk about the God of wrath, because that's what I hear all the time when people, you know, they want to try to find some sort of, you know, island of, you know, that they can take a stand on. And it's, well, the God you serve is very wrathful. And they misunderstand, wrath and judgment and love.
Yeah.
That it's all combined. Go ahead.
Essentially, when God calls himself a God of wrath, I believe what he's saying is, I hate sin. I'm a holy God. I hate it so much that to pay the penalty for it, I'm even willing to send my son to die, be crucified. Now, that's a big, big price. That's no little deal. That means he must hate it a whole lot or else he wouldn't have done that. This film doesn't point that out, but that is not a deal breaker. There's a lot of Christian films out there that only show one aspect of God's nature and not – God's complicated. Let's put it that way. It's hard to make a film that shows who he is because – even those of us who know him and love him probably don't understand him as much as we should.
Well, Bob, you know what I appreciated what the organization did with the release of this movie. I don't know if you heard me, but they developed a Bible study guide to coincide with the movie, and I haven't gotten a copy yet, so I'm looking forward to see what they've done. But you know, to your point, there are so many rich moments here that are open for discussion. And my prayer is that that people just don't jump into this and kind of, you know, freewheel it, that they be in prayer, they think about these moments, how they should respond, what are the words, what is God, what's revelation coming from the throne room about this movie that can be life-changing, that we can be part of the solution and not add to the problem and the confusion of our faith.
That's just so well said. By the way, I wouldn't recommend this for younger kids. I should point out the
yes.
fact that, in my opinion, around 13 or 14, in other words, teenagers on up, it seems to be acceptable. Read our longer review. I actually wrote it this time. I don't write a whole lot of the longer reviews, but I wrote this one for The Shack, and it's at PluggedIn.com. By the way, one more film I'd love to highlight real quick. I know we're almost out of time.
Tell me you're going to talk about is Genesis History, because that's what I just don't get.
Genesis History.
Yes, right.
It was one night only last Tuesday, Fathom event, Del Tackett looking. But then it did so well, they did an encore last Thursday. And then the last encore, I believe it's the last encore, is tomorrow night. Check your local listings. But it's a great documentary, and Del Tackett is also a personal friend, so I have to admit that I would lean toward liking it. But I have to be honest, but I also very much like this film. He comes at it from a young earth perspective. I know we have people listening right now who don't have that perspective, but give it a chance. This is
exactly.
There's truth to be gained here in this documentary,
without
no doubt.
Well, Bob Olszewski, we're out of time. Welcome home. Good to have you back, and we'll see you in Alohaville next time.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected decline. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position.
position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learned could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Have you ever wanted